presents First Impressions.
There's a new album out.
Have you listened to it yet?
I'm digging the new album.
I'll check it out.
What do you think of the new album?
First Impressions.
Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of First Impressions on the Scratch Track Podcast, presented by the Dude and Grim Show. I am the Dude.
And I am Grim. And today we are going to give our first initial impressions of Blue Weekend by Wolf Alice.
You most certainly are, Grim. But before we do that, we want to remind all the people who have not liked, subscribe, or hopefully they will comment below to do that.
Like, subscribe, and comment
if you're listening on the your favorite podcast, which would be Apple or Spotify or Amazon. Check us out on YouTube. If you're on YouTube, you can always listen to us on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon. So
yeah,
many options.
Please do. So,
dude, Blue Weekend by Wolf Alice. Now, Grim, there's typically before we do these, we don't. I don't really read reviews and hear too much about the album. I like to go in kind of blind. But
yeah,
I have heard some good things about this album before I listened to it. Words such as masterpiece have been thrown around a little bit.
Yeah, and I would say of the band prior to this, it won several awards.
It won several awards.
So
that's pretty great.
Including, I believe, the Mercury Prize, which is kind of a big deal in the UK, as I understand it. You know, I'm not going to pretend to know a whole bunch about that, but I believe that there were several other bands. One of them that comes to mind is Alt-J, that were pretty popular bands that won the Mercury Prize. That's just kind of a thing there.
I gotcha. Well, I will say, you know, I've listened to it now, I think I would say somewhere 4 to 5 times. And although I'm not ready to give it the masterpiece stamp right off the bat, I can say my first impression of it is it's really good.
And I agree.
And I was pleasantly surprised.
Agreed. And, you know, having not heard of Wolf Alice prior to this, I really didn't know what to expect. So thanks and shout out to friend of the show and producer Forrest for throwing out this recommendation. With a name like Wolf Alice, I will say I didn't know what to expect. Reason is, and here's where we take it. Here's where we take it to one of our favorites. Wolf Alice, Wolf Parade, Alice Parade, Wolf Alice, Wolf Mother, Alice Mother. Now, those are two other bands with the name Wolf, and both of those are more or less like rock bands. Wolf Mother being more of a kind of spinoff-ish of like a Black Sabbath, like 70s rock, and Wolf Parade dude, I can't wait to actually do Wolf Parade, Apologies to the Queen Mary, one of my favorite albums. But a true indie rock band, but much more rock. So I guess for some reason, because of those tie-ins, and I know that sounded weird, this is where my brain went, right? So like initially I'm thinking, is this going to be kind of heavy? Because those bands kind of have some heaviness to them, both in their respective ways. Absolutely. And so I, you know, in my head, I'm going into something thinking it's kind of heavy, and it really, there were parts of it that kind of were like rock or punk-ish.
Ish.
Yeah. But I wouldn't say that they're heavy by nature. So it was a really interesting surprise to listen to it.
Certainly. Well, one of the things that really stands out to me is her vocals. I mean, they are front and center. Mm-hmm. They're there. They're layered. A lot of background vocals that sound very airy and light. Right?
Yeah. The whole thing is kind of dreamy, I think.
It definitely is. Now, did you look up? So this was produced, and I'm not going to get his name probably 100% right, but Marcus Draves. Did you look up anything on him?
I did not.
Okay, so, dude, you're going to be like, wow, this guy kind of knows what he's doing. So he worked extensively with Bjork on Homogenic, which is a very popular album of hers. He also produced the Arcade Fire's The Suburbs album and Reflector. He's worked with Brian Eno, Coldplay, Florence and the Machine, and Kings of Leon.
Wow, so, that's sweet. I thought James Murphy did.
James Murphy is also helped produce Reflector
okay.
as well.
Yeah. Because I know they were kind of like thick as thieves. Because I know in the documentary, what's it called? Shut Up and Play the Hits. Like the one that God, why is it escaping me?
I don't know.
LCD Sound System did as like their farewell thing. I know that Arcade Fire was like one of the guests that came out on stage with them and performed. So they were kind of thick as thieves. So sorry for the divergence.
Yeah, no, there, I mean, but he's just you can tell.
Yeah, he's worked with and produced.
He's got it down.
and I mean, hell, just listening to the album, it's pretty obvious that it wasn't done in a basement or a garage. I mean, it sounds very, very well done.
It's what I was thinking. It sounds very crisp and clean. Even some of the songs that have a little bit of fuzz and grittiness to them, there's this cleanliness.
And it's very
polished.
I would agree with that. And I think I like that. I mean, I also like the antithesis of that, which is things that are just like, that are like definitively gritty and meant to be that way. But I also like it when you can do something that's so very clean. And that way, when things with grit and kind of dirt come in, like they stand out even more.
For sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, I have notes on a few different tracks.
There's some things
that, you know, I really liked about it. I don't know if we want to talk about, you know, maybe our favorite songs first or kind of how you want to go about that. I'm good.
Yeah, I think that's fine. It was interesting reading about the band and how they started in 2010. And it sounds like they met at an open mic where I'm like, that would be cool. I've been to open mics and I mean, I'm at Gorman and stuff, but like, you know, I didn't like
Kleiner,
start
man,
a band that, you know, is releasing made major it. Albums. So that's gotta be, must be nice. But I thought I like that story in a way, because I feel like it's kind of a really organic beginning.
Sure. Absolutely, man. No, it's definitely a cool way to, you know, have your band start out in a story. It sounds very, very college-esque, right? Like,
yeah, it does.
Young and trying to find your way and figure it out.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. And I looked at some of their other stuff. I didn't listen to it because I wanted to focus on this one. I don't know if you looked at the cover for Blush. That's pretty awesome. But I will. So anyways, back to Blue Weekend, right?
Yeah.
It would seem as if there's a fairly, if I'm not mistaken, there's a couple past members. So, you know, a few changes as the band forms, but
seems to tweak things.
Yeah, fairly consistent.
Creative differences.
The lead single was The Last Man on Earth, not to be confused with the TV show with Will Forte, The Last Man on Earth, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to confuse that. But
I would watch it if you haven't, because it's wonderful. If you like Will Forte or MacGruber, dude, check it out. But anyways, and who am I to say anything? But actually, as I look at the singles, I don't know. I guess if for my taste, which that doesn't mean anything, and I recognize that.
It means everything to me.
Well, dude, and yours mean everything to me, too. That's why we're here, the dude. I guess I would have chose different singles, but
So it's funny you say that, because my first thing was to talk about actually The Last Man on Earth. And
The show or the song?
The song. Definitely the song. First off, let me say, I think it's a good song. I don't
think
I would not have chosen this as the lead single. And the main reason why is, one, I feel like there's stronger songs on the album.
Yep. Agreed.
But also I feel like it takes a little too long to get going for the song to get going. It's almost 2/3 to 3/4 in it before it really kind of picks up. It's just it's kind of this, it's sort of longer and drawn out. And I would not have chosen that. Now, the one I would have chosen, which was actually a single, and it was the second single, and that is the song Smile. This song is my favorite song on the album. And I like it. You probably don't like it at all.
Holy fuck. Yeah, dude. Wow. I mean, I know it's way too early, but if I was going to scratch, dude, Smile is fucking gone.
Really? Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I I'm going to say one of the ones that I really like, I'm sure we would disagree on that too, but I just, I don't know how to describe it. It's just kind of like weird and like in your face, but in kind of a real weenie sort of way. I don't know. There was something about it that I was like, okay, I see what you're doing. I'm just not that into it, but by all means.
I know what you're doing right now, and I don't like
it.
Beer bottle. Okay. So what I liked about it though, is that, so the first three songs are kind of get this nice flow going, and
Smile
which I did like. Yep. And then Smile does kind of hit you in the face a little bit. I like the fuzz. I like the grittiness.
I'll give you that.
The album had been very clean to that point. Also, she sings it very differently. It's sort of like this kind of rap.
Yeah, style, that's the part I think that really rubs me the wrong way. Not so much the music, but the lyrics. I think the lyrics, I was just like, huh, okay.
So to me, I liked it because I liked having that edge and attitude. And to me, it kind of took the album another level because I'm like, okay, these first three songs are really good. But, you know, do we have, you know, seven or eight more of these? And I totally hear you. Now, one reason why I was thinking maybe they did not make it the lead single was, again, I'm not familiar with their previous albums, but I'm wondering if that would have been too much of a departure. Yeah, for people hearing it for the first time. Also, I feel like the song is very different than what we hear on the rest of the album. So new fans coming in, it's like you hear this song, you get to the album for that, and the rest of the album kind of isn't that, maybe.
Well, and the same thing to me applies with the one of the harder ones that I like better, which is Play the Greatest Hits. Yeah, Play the Greatest Hits. That's almost like kind of like punk-ish.
Oh,
like
very, yeah.
Wolf I thought Alice so. Meets punk. And I like that a lot. That one resonated with me a lot more, but on the same thing, like you said, it is very much a departure from the rest of what they're doing. And it's kind of an outlier. Like that and Smile are definitely the outliers. I just like that one a little more because I kind of like the punk sensibility about it. But with the two of them, I mean, they're kind of kindred spirits.
Yeah. Right. One thing that Play the Greatest Hits definitely stood out to me too. One thing I didn't like about it was did you notice the clapping in it? It kind of seemed a little cheesy to me. So I was like, is this the Mickey Mouse Club, you know, or what?
Or the AAS. Like, yeah, I don't know. AAS. Yeah.
But there is a part in it that I actually did really like. And it actually reminded me of Perfect Drug by Nine Inch Nails. Where they kind of match the strings and the guitar. They kind of match those sounds together. And it's just in a couple little sections or whatever, but it kind of stood out to me. At least that's what I think was happening. I'd have to listen to it a little closer. But this last time I listened to it, I was like, I just kind of like that sound where they match the strings and the guitar together a little bit.
Oh, that's cool. So with the Outliers, one of the things, so the beach, you know, the beach is a good start. I guess it wasn't something, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but it wasn't like some sort of music that I was hearing for the first time. I feel like there's a lot of indie pop that's kind of in this realm, but I liked it. I'm not criticizing it for that. I'm just saying it was a familiar sound, and I liked it, but I liked it even more going into Delicious Things because I feel like that one's kind of dreamy. But then the transition from Delicious Things into Lipstick on the Glass
was great,
phenomenal. Right? Great transition.
I made a note of that too.
Oh, man. Really good. And dude, I don't know what it is about Lipstick on the Glass because it's real kind of like subtle and almost understated. But I would say that is probably my favorite song on the record.
Okay.
Nice. There's something about that guitar riff that I can really get behind and relate with. And it's like, I feel like in some ways I would make a song like that. Not that it would sound like that in the end, but like based on a guitar riff like that, like
that's what I want.
Yeah, when I heard that, I was like, that is a great riff to base a song on. I like this. I liked it immediately as soon as I heard that.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. That transition is really good between those songs. I like that. It's very
wonderful,
very smooth.
Yeah.
You know, the one song, and I believe this was a single as well, How Can I Make It Okay? Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that a single? Yeah. And I think it's a good song. There's parts of it where she sings. It really reminds me of like Stevie Nicks.
Dude, I think that's the one. I actually put in my notes that was the one that like reminded me of Fleetwood Mac.
Sure. Yeah.
Like just in general, like there was something about the vibe of that one that like, and not in a way where you think it's a ripoff, but like in an honest kind of a real way.
Yeah. And she changes her vocals up. I mean, not just throughout the album, but also through in these songs. And there's only a couple small parts where I'm like, oh, she really sounds like sort of Stevie Nicks there and stuff like that. But
no, but I think that's cool. And I really like her vocals. I think she does a great job with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the layering and everything. Because there are parts of this, which we'll kind of go into as we get into, I think, a few of these other ones where, dude, the vocals just get really thick and dense and just gorgeous. I mean, well done.
They are. Yeah.
And I think kind of like in Safe from a Heartbreak, If I Never Fall in Love, because there's like, it's like a more simple song, but there's harmonies in there and it's,
Well, Grim, this might be a good time to get some people's thoughts and opinions and get them to comment below. Let us know how you guys feel about this album, how it stacks up to kind of, you know, their first couple albums, and do you like the direction they're heading?
Because
this has been very well received by, it seems like, a lot of reviewers and people, again, like us, who have just heard it for the first time. You know, for fans who've known them for a while, are you really into this, or is this kind of, you know, push you back and turn you off a little bit? So, you know, let us know what you guys think below.
Yeah. Now, I think lyrically speaking, a lot of this stuff is centered around like relationships and things like that, which is not abnormal. And I don't know the story behind it, if there was some big like emotional thing, but the lyrics seem fairly consistent to me in that regard. And that's not a criticism, that is merely just an observation.
I mean, dude, look at the Beatles. They basically did their first half of their career was pretty much that, wasn't
it? Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's a fair point.
Everything was a love song, wasn't it?
Yeah. Now, one thing I want to talk about, and we kind of talked about this offline a little bit, is the song Feeling Myself. Now, when you look at the title, one might think of the song by Divinyls, When I Think About You, I Touch Myself. But I think this is a little different than that. And it's, I think it's more just introverted, like feeling myself, my emotions. But one thing I want to mention is, you brought it up, was the use of an electric piano. And I think your question to me was, is that an organ? Is that a Rhodes? What is that? Now, I wish I had a concrete answer for you, but
I tried to look it up.
I know I couldn't find anything either because I wondered this as soon as I heard it, but I'm kind of past the point of wondering, and I'll tell you why. I think that what that is a really good like sampling keyboard, like a Nord Stage or a Korg SV1 or whatever. But I think that is a sampled or a modeled Wurlitzer piano. And there's a reason I say that, because it's too flat, it's too even, it's too perfect. Those old pianos, they just, depending on how you play them, they have bite, they have grit in certain spots. And the Wurlitzer, especially on the very low notes, you get this low boom, but you also get like this really kind of high end bit about it. And the low notes on the Wurlitzer to me are always a dead giveaway. And when I listen to this, and this is me being a real nerd, and I accept that and all that comes with it, but I felt like that is a faked Wurlitzer piano. That is my assessment, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, if anybody out there knows what the deal is. If
I'd love to know
if you're listening, like, let us know what you guys used.
And the thing is, I don't want that to detract from the song, because I don't think that detracts from the song. That's just like the nerd in me who hears these things, and I you know, this is where my mind goes. But dude, when Feeling Myself gets into those parts where it just gets really thick and dense, like, man, it is fucking top notch. Really good.
It's very good. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Well, yeah, it'll be cool to see, you know, now that bands are starting to tour a little more and festivals and things are opening up, it'll be cool to see if these guys, you know, if they make it our way. I'd love to check them out. There's a come to Red Rocks, come to the Mission Ballroom, whatever. We'll have you here. Well, Grim, I think that kind of wraps up my first impression. How's that do for you?
Yeah, mine too. I guess the only thing I wanted to say is there were a lot of reviews, and many of them were 9 out of 10, or Metacritic was 96 out of 100. I think those are fair reviews, but there's part of me where there is this source that's called Any Decent Music ? And they gave it 8.2 out of 10. Okay. So 82%. I think it's better than that. But I feel like 9 out of 10s is a little like rushing into things.
Yeah, I mean, that's in, and again, for people who are here for the sort of first time, I don't know why this is your first time, but we're glad you're here.
Yeah.
You know, these are our first impressions. We won't necessarily feel it's fair to do a full on review of an album when we've listened to it 4 or 5 times. It's been out for maybe a week at most.
Dude, absolutely agreed. I do not think that's fair. You know, but I will say, despite what I said, I think it's an awesome album. I really do.
I can say that much.
Well, yeah. And the thing is, I think I listened to it once by myself, and then my wife got home and I was making dinner. We listened to it again, and I think we let it play again when we were. So I probably listened to things several times, and to me, like, I didn't get to the point where I'm like, okay, I've had enough. I mean, it's very good, interesting music. There's a lot of depth there. I really liked it.
Question. Ooh. Will you be getting this on vinyl?
It is not on my immediate list, but I would not rule it out. Let me say it like that.
Yeah, I'm borderline right now. I want to give it some more time.
Yeah, I do too. And not to say that I don't think it's worthy of that, because I mean, shit, dude, the length is spot on for getting it on vinyl.
Oh,
I think perfect, it'd be a great record to listen to just because of how it all goes. But you know, the Grim getting it on vinyl is kind of a long and distinguished list.
Exactly. So,
and I have a lot of them already, but there's just a lot more that I want.
Yeah, there's some that are in front of it for sure.
Yeah, with all due respect, because it's a great album. I won't say anything otherwise.
Yep. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up here. Again, for all of you, those of you who are here for the first time, please give us a like, subscribe,
and comment below.
And as always, we'll be back Monday and Wednesdays. Mondays are fun. Wednesdays are scratches. It's time to go.
The Dude Room Show.
On the Dude Room Show.
Scratch a Track is produced by the Dude Grim. Additional music provided by Moore and the Tims. Copyright 2021, The Dude and Grim Show.